You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
So let's talk for a minute about this, I guess we can call a smear campaign against the character of Michael Brown.
Yeah.
It started with the robbery footage.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, it started before that. Like, what do you think, what do you think of this phenomenon of, like, you know, depending on what news outlet was reporting it, they would kind of change what picture they showed of Mike Brown.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. Like, you know, my sister did, she did graphic design work for local officials during, you know, the preliminaries and primaries. I mean, so she would kind of tell me about how they would tell them to use pictures, you know, if they were doing a quote unquote smear campaign, to use pictures that were more, you know, menacing. They catch them in like mid blink, but their face was scrunched, so it looked like they were evil and up to no good and manipulating. And it's crazy. It's crazy how, you know, how much we take in based off of what we see. You know, and in our culture, a big black guy with, you know, baggy clothes, you know, a hat tilted to a side, a flipped up, and, you know what I'm saying? Like, if he's not wearing a suit, apparently, if he's not wearing a suit, you know, he's a danger and he's a threat, you know?
It's crazy.
Right. Right.
But let me say this,
yeah,
though. Because, you know, hip hop is super convenient because you do that because his style of dress, it's not thuggish. It's hip hop. But on the flip side, it's cool for you to do a swagger wagon, and it's cool for all these other major companies to use hip hop to push their product. But when people are obviously influenced by the culture that is hip hop, because hip hop is a culture, it's not just music. Music is an aspect of the culture. Now all of a sudden, they're clutching their purses tighter, and they're taking alternate routes home. You got to take the good with the bad in anything. That's not fair.
So we've seen sort of the smearing of his character. We saw a little bit there. We saw it with just the incredibly inept handling of the press conference on Friday, I think that was. So we've seen it really. And so what I see today is, you know, anonymous sources saying that there were traces of marijuana in his toxicology report.
Uh-huh.
What does that have to do with the fact that he was shot 6 times?
Everything.
What? How?
Because if he didn't have any weed in the system, man, like, then he wouldn't. I mean, but that's crazy, because then that brings up the point of artists have always attributed drugs to their creative process. Like, if we could even go to drugs that would help with their performance on the court or on the field. But now all of a sudden, drugs are bad, okay? Because he had some weed in his system, which is supposed to, as you said earlier, make them violent. And it warranted a sort of response that makes a cop shoot you 6 times. Because we haven't even talked about the autopsy report and where he got hit, what that shows and what it's conducive to.
Well, let's talk about it.
Okay.
So six times.
Six times.
All from the front, right?
Yeah, yeah. They said a couple of could have been from the back.
Right.
You know, which would have went along with, you know, he was running, you know, when he was running away or whatever, but yeah, they're all on one side.
Okay.
Like, they're all on his left?
Yeah.
His right.
His right, our left, yeah.
Yeah. All on his right, and then there's one that hit him like in the eye.
Yeah.
And then, but they said the fatal, and this is weird because I'm not familiar with this, but they said the fatal shot was the one that grazed his head.
Mm, interesting.
So I'm like, how is that the murder shot? That's interesting. I would like, if anybody's on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, you know, use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers or add us at CRS Podcast and, you know, send us an article, or if you're familiar with that, break that down for me, because I don't understand that.
So why is that interesting to you?
I don't know. You just got grazed on the top of your head. Like,
no,
that,
I mean, in general, like you were saying that you said before that, like the way.
Oh, just, you know, just his, it was based off of like where he got hit, like on his hand, inside of his arm. It was indicative and conducive to him lifting his hands in the air and saying not saying don't shoot, but lifting his hands up as a sign of surrender. And then the body also showed that there were no signs of a struggle, which contradicts the officer's report.
To me, the most startling thing is, I don't maybe it hasn't been said because it's so obvious, but six shots means that you were shooting to kill.
Absolutely.
You weren't shooting to disable. You weren't shooting in self-defense. You were shooting to kill. And
if he's running, if he's running away, why are you shooting? Why are you not, you know, pursuing him on foot?
Even if he's running away, six shots. Right.
Yeah, like run after him, tackle him, arrest him. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't. That's like some like high speed car chase, Matrix Bad Boys type joke. You running? He running after him, and you shooting and running after him, saying stop police.
The so we finally have the autopsy report. We've now got the National Guard called in to protect the police.
They're moving in as we speak. Yep.
Not to protect the people.
Nope.
Is there a way out? Like, I'm trying to understand how this ends up. Like, where does this end? What happens? I this story to me has defied logic like the entire time. Like, I really honestly, when Thursday happened and we sort of had a little bit of a cooling off period, I thought that it would not just be the symbolic sort of gesture of Captain Johnson marching with people on Thursday. I also, what we would have seen is, people with a more keen awareness of public perception might be in charge of when to release information and how to release it so that they wouldn't appear to be so idiotic.
Right.
It turns out that was a 24-hour, maybe, respite, right? And that instead we've had just an insane series of, you know, like I just saw it, like I just saw a little while we were recording the show, people don't realize we had to take a little bit of a break. I had to take care of something. I saw as I was walking back into my office so we could start recording again, one of the photographers who's been taking some of the most iconic pictures of this whole thing got arrested. Like, they're just, you know, 5 days ago on Wednesday night, it was crazy that they were arresting these two journalists in that McDonald's. And now, you know, tear gas at a TV studio? I mean, at a TV crew? Sure. Arresting photographers? Why not?
Threatening to kill them, yeah.
Right, threatening to kill somebody who's videotaping you? Yeah, because that's what happens, apparently. The rate at which this is spiraling, I'm trying to see a way out both in terms of like a positive outcome and a negative outcome, and I almost can't even conceive of what happens here.
How does this stop? Do the people just slowly start to dissipate, or
that's clearly what they're gambling on? The bet here is that they it's a matter of will. The police assume that at some point they can be thuggish enough to dissuade enough people where they can just, you know, it's a show of force.
Yeah,
it's a gamble, and we're gonna sit here night after night and watch this happen.
Yeah, so it's pretty much like when you're with your child. And they want to stay up late and they're like, I'm going to stay up with you tonight. We're going to stay up all night. And they're up till like 11:30 and they pass out. You know, like, see, I knew they wouldn't last long. It's the same thing. Like the police are waiting on us to go to sleep because we're at a posture of we're going to stay up all night until this is resolved. And they're banking on, as you said, like they're banking on us tiring out and moving on to something else. And then they can, you know, do whatever it is that they think that they're going
to
do.
Right. So I'm trying to think of other sorts of incidents of this nature. So I think of the LA riots, which isn't like this, but in the instance of you sort of don't know how this ends in a good way. So in the LA riots, soldiers from the National Guard, the 7th Infantry Division, and Marines were called in after the police couldn't handle the situation. In 1957, in order to enforce desegregation in Little Rock, President Eisenhower didn't have confidence that the National Guard would actually obey him, so he called in the 101st Airborne to make sure that that the kids could go to school. I'm trying to think of a situation where this doesn't involve a federal escalation, and that's just going to be – that will be so ugly. When I say a federal escalation, I mean the military.
Yeah.
Because in that case, you ask the question, well, what are the military there for? Are they there to back up the National Guard, or are they there to protect the citizens? You want to talk about Obama's legacy? That's it right there.
I wouldn't be surprised if these were even Ferguson Police Department.
You mean who's doing all this stuff right now?
Yeah.
No, I mean, so in fact, a lot of this has been the St. Louis County Police.
I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't them either.
What do you mean?
I'm still just very confused as to what warrants this type of force. You said 9/11 as an example, yes. But does that denote that we are the terrorists now? The terrorists are everybody. Everybody's a suspect. So why am I? I have a cousin who is a part of the St. Louis Police Department. Now that I think about it, and as much training as he tells us about, they're not training like this.
No, that's part of the problem. Clearly, they're using stuff they don't even know what they're doing. It comes off to a certain degree like boys and their toys, gear. They're using it. They don't know what to do.
Yeah, crazy, son.
This either ends by, and frankly, I'm not sure what would cause the police to back down.
Quick to back down.
Right. Appreciate you keeping it 2004 hip hop.
you know, that's where I live.
So either what? The protests, I mean, basically either the number of people in Ferguson marching has to get so big that that we escalate to a different level of force, or the people give up, right?
And or Obama sets some sort of directive, or something happens in the case that kind of calms everybody down. And then, you know, but again, as you said earlier, there's a really good chance that is close, slim to none chance that he's charged with murder. When that happens, there's going to be a problem. And then God forbid he's acquitted, or God forbid he gets like probation. If he gets anything less than life or death or like 500 years in prison, it's going to escalate back up again.
You're assuming this even goes to trial.
Yeah. Yeah. What if there's no, I mean, they haven't, you know, people are saying this, like they haven't even charged that they ruled Eric Garner's death a homicide, is the guy in Harlem who got choked out by the police. They ruled his death a homicide and nobody's been charged yet.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right. There's a good chance it doesn't go to this doesn't go to trial.
Right.
And 3 months go by and nothing's changed. And it's like, wait a minute, because like you said, this isn't going to go away. Yes, this is the riots. I want you to respond to this. I saw you respond to it earlier.
OK.
And my stance on it has changed slightly. But I retweeted a comment where somebody said that this is Obama's Katrina. And you made some comments in response to that.
Right.
So do you believe that this is Obama's Katrina?
No. Katrina, let's remember what happened in Katrina. What happened in Katrina is a federal agency, FEMA, that George W. Bush had led, had participated in the defunding of, right? They purposefully, the person he put in charge of FEMA should have never been put in charge of FEMA. And then on top of that, the response. So he was actually directly responsible for FEMA being in a bad position to respond. Then it was. Then they actually did respond really poorly. And then he He was slow to respond in a situation that's not. There's no murkiness. There's no politically charged atmosphere. That's a case where there's only one thing to do. It was a national disaster, right? There was a city underwater, and Bush, you know, was incompetent, right?
Yeah.
You know, the famous Kanye thing, right? George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Yeah.
It was incompetence, gross incompetence.
Yeah.
This is incompetence for Obama, but this is America's Katrina, man. This is bigger than Obama. You know,
This is way
bigger than Obama.
I got you.
Right. Because to pin this on Obama, I mean, look, if you want to pin some of his response, that's fine. But the situation that we've got that led to all of this stuff, like, it's not like Obama pushed for the, you know, he certainly maybe hasn't stopped it. He's maybe been a bystander in certain trends in American society, right? But, you know, you could call this Obama's Katrina if he was the one pushing for this type of militarized stuff to be pushed to police, and if, you know, he pushed for other sorts of things, but he didn't. I mean, he really didn't. I mean, his problem here, let me put it this way. People wouldn't be calling this Obama's Katrina if you weren't black.
Mm.
He is seen as having a special obligation, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is that is difficult to judge. He will always not just be Barack Obama, president, or in a couple years, former president. He will always be Barack Obama, the first black president.
Yes.
So he is judged by a different standard, both by the African-American community, the white reactionary community, not the entire white community, God, no. A small but vocal percentage, I will call them the white reactionary community, that wants him to, that tries to paint him as being a certain stereotype, right? Like he, calling it Obama, calling, saying this is Obama's Katrina is, if you want to say he has messed this up, absolutely. But there's a lot of stuff he's messed up.
Right.
I mean, I think in this case, right, in a sense, I don't want to call it Obama's Katrina because I think, and this is, please, no disrespect to the people of St. Louis or the Gulf Coast. Certainly in terms of lives affected, like in terms of like destruction of property. This is nowhere near Katrina, right? In terms of the property lost, the lives affected.
Yeah.
But in terms of the roots of the problem, Ferguson is the pinpoint of a problem whose roots spread through American history.
There you go.
It's way bigger than this. Way bigger than Obama.
It's bigger than hip hop.
It's America. It's a story of America, you know. And it's so funny. There's so many like oddly American battles that have found their way into the conversation about Ferguson and about the death of Mike Brown.
Yeah.
The issue of police, the issue of race, the issue of states' rights.
Yeah.
Does Obama even have the authority to go in there?
Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about why the governor of Missouri has been you know why? Because he has higher office aspirations. And because the lessons that the Democrats think they learned, again, my favorite trope, lessons learned, the lessons they think they learned during the rise of Reagan in the 80s. Remember, you had Nixon, who completely messed up, right? You had Ford, you had Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was seen as such a failure. And then you had Reagan for 8 years and the first Bush for 4 years. In the early 90s, it was kind of conceivable. Like people thought, will there ever be a Democratic president again? They were so concerned about that because Democrats were seen as soft on crime and super liberal and anti-business and all these things that they never thought could be mainstream. So Gore and Clinton in the 90s, there was this third way. Well, what if we were Democrats who were pro-business and quote-unquote tough on crime, which has a lot of air quotes around it because it's a really sensitive topic, right? That's how you get... Remember the whole sister soldier thing?
God, yes.
Remember how Clinton came down hard?
Yeah, he did.
Right. He was proving I'm not just one of those liberals, right? He was trying to be mainstream America.
Yeah.
For the most part, mainstream Democratic candidates are in that same mold where they are so terrified of being called a liberal that they are in essence moderate Republicans from like the 80s, right? The in terms of the policies and the way they act, like they are super moderate. So the governor of Missouri, Nixon, I believe, is it governor? No, I can't remember his name. I should. Anyway, the governor of Missouri, he's not going to go against this police here, right? Almost like in much the same way that Obama is another one of these politicians where like they have spent their entire political careers defining themselves as this sort of like middle of the road, reasonable politician. Like it's just not even in their vocabulary, in their political vocabulary to speak out and to defend the people against the police in this way, right? It is such an American, you know, it is so... you know, it's almost patriotic in a way. Oh, of course, you know, the police, they're there for us and we need police. And, you know, it's so easy to twist people's words around if all of a sudden you're anti-police. But this is a situation and we simply don't have extraordinary politicians, right? In our media environment, we can't afford to have extraordinary politicians. Extraordinary politicians have rough edges.
Yeah.
Right. We sand those all down.
Yeah.
We're expecting like real like leadership, like movie style stuff. We're not going to get that.
Absolutely.
We're not going to get that.
Such unrealistic expectations of everything that we are not nearly willing to or even have the capacity to offer ourselves.
Nobody's showing up on the white horse. There's no cavalry coming.
No, that won't happen. You know why? You know what the problem is?
What's the problem?
A I lost my train of thought. That's the problem. Okay, this is what it is. People, like, look, remember the episode of The Simpsons when... I'm sorry, there's a Simpsons episode that's relative to everything. That's why I think it's the greatest show ever. Remember the episode of The Simpsons where Homer was, like, the head of the, like, the trash people?
Okay.
And his themes, his slogan was, "Can't someone else do it?" And then as a result, like, none of the trash got picked up and it was like overflowing in the city. And he was just like, "Oh, we just dump it in." They dumped in like a land. I need to go after I finish The Wire. I'm going to go back and watch like the first 11 seasons of the because I can't remember any of this stuff. But they like put it all in like this empty pile or whatever. Like they just took the trash out or whatever. Like that's how we are as a country. Like if you... If I just believe that, all right, you know what? I did my civil justice. I did my civil duty. I voted for Obama. Now Obama has to do all the work. And whatever he doesn't do, I get to tell him, "Yo, Obama, do something. I voted for you." But it's like you, like this issue that we're talking about, it takes all of us. Every last one of us is directly responsible for what happens to America after this. And that's it.
Right.
There is no, as you said, there is no white horse. No man walking this earth can save the nation as is. It's just not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? But it takes a collective, I don't say a collective unionization, a collective compromise, a collective, like everybody needs to have one mind about something like this to say this is a deeper issue than a kid getting shot by a cop. We are extremely broken in our way of thinking and extremely broken in our posture, in the way that we see things. And if we continue to act like this and expect that Obama or whoever else they vote in 2016 is going to do any better, we are in serious trouble. Serious trouble.
You know, we have to decide what, you know what it is? No matter what you think, like in terms of your political, we'll say persuasion, right? Your political beliefs, whichever way you lean, you have to understand that these are complex problems, which means there are complex solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
So that means you need to understand that local decisions matter, right? If you're concerned about what's going on in Ferguson, and what rules your local police have, right? Why do they have an armored truck? Do they have snipers?
Right. Absolutely.
Right? Do they have tear gas? Is that in their arsenal? Why is that in their arsenal?
Yes.
You know what? Then you might have to, people might have to go to like a local board meeting. Like, and look, I should not be one to talk, right? I'm a hypocrite here because I'm not, I haven't gone to any of these things. I need to be, apparently, right? Because these are complex things, right? Complex problems.
Yeah.
And when I say complex solutions, I don't mean that it's not something that people can understand. I mean, it's different layers. There's local, there's state, there's federal. Right. How about this?
There's personal.
Right. Right. There. We have to be aware. We have let our civil liberties in this country erode.
Understatement.
All in the name of protecting America from terrorists.
Protecting America from what?
Right.
Is that definition of protecting really? I'm not coming against you.
No.
Is that level of protecting, is that really protection?
No, it's theater.
Or is it a hindrance?
It's security theater. Every time you take your shoes off at the airport, every time you hear a story about how the NSA is reading your email, just remember that we have allowed these things to happen.
Absolutely.
Over time, and it takes a while to get that all back.
But if we don't do anything about it now, as you said, meetings coming together, if we don't do anything about it, it's going to get worse.
Mm.
This is not the worst of it. It's going to get worse.
You think it'll get worse?
Yes.
I think it'll get more subtle. That's the astounding part of what has happened.
Mm. Define more subtle. Give me some examples of that.
We talked last week about racism isn't as overt as it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just it's more subtle.
Yeah.
It's more politically acceptable, right?
I got you.
So it just means that they, you know, if we aren't really serious, if we don't have backbone, if we don't have a commitment, all of us, then it just means that the next time they'll do better. Because, like, think about it this way. Right now, like, in the court of public opinion, the Ferguson police have lost. But in what's going on in Ferguson right now, last time I checked, the National Guard is defending them, and they are making they are calling the shots in Ferguson. So it's up to us, right? It's really just, yeah, this is
it's up to us. We have to assimilate. We have to come together, and we need to hash out these. We need to have these real life conversations. Like, and you know, it's funny. Let me go church real quick. Let me go church really, really, really quick. I wanted to tweet this, but it was like, let me save it for the show, for our Christian audience. Hey guys, how you doing?
you're like Armand here.
I'm like Mean Gene Okerlund when he used to do like the SummerSlam report in the middle of like primetime wrestling. He would like break down the whole card. Yeah, I'm that guy. This is what happens when you have nothing to watch but the network. So a lot of black Christian hip hop artists have been catching flack, and I'm watching Swoop catch flack right now for simply saying that Mike Brown's death was an injustice and we need to have conversations. And Christian hip hop is merely a byproduct of the church itself. And the church has largely been conservative on, in a lot of cases, the wrong things. And this is a huge glaring issue that I don't believe in this little Christian bubble, churchy bubble is not getting targeted and is not being spoken to. Like, we can't, and I use this as an example to make a larger point. We can't be afraid to have these types of conversations. So when you say it takes us, like, we have to come together, you have to not be afraid to offend me for a larger cause, for a greater good. If the intent of your offense is not to slander me, make me feel bad, if the intent of the statement that you make is for a larger purpose to be accomplished further, which is, you know, coming to some sort of solution to where Ferguson is a one-time deal and this and nothing like this ever happens again in our nation, then we have to be comfortable and we have to be okay with that. But the problem is that our culture, we don't like to be offended. We like to do wrong things. Like, all right, the police are offended. Well, they've been offending us forever. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're protecting the wrong things. We have to totally be open, and we have to be willing to hurt each other, offend each other, say the uncomfortable things, and make the uncomfortable statements that will have us get to a better place down the line. But if we're not willing to do that, we're in trouble. I'm done.
No, that's...
Now I'm getting mad, son.
Tell them why you...
We probably need to talk about rap, because if
no, we're deep in this. I mean, we don't need to talk about music right now.
No, I mean not during this episode, but like
in general, next week,
yeah,
maybe,
like whatever. Like, if it's the next, because you know what I'm saying, like, my heart is gonna hurt if something else happens this week and we have to have another episode because more gets exposed. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. It's like Twitter has been so full of, you know, nuggets of information, people's opinions. I just encourage everybody, and I'll say this, I encourage everybody to put their phone down for a few hours. We want to have as much information as possible, and this is a great time to be informed because everybody is, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's giving out information. But when you study for a test, you got to take a break. So I just encourage everybody, yes, we need to be connected to this issue as much as we can, because it's a part of a much larger thing, but disconnect for a little while. Go hug your kids, go eat some corn pops, go watch a movie on Netflix, go outside. It's August and it's not hot outside. I don't know if it's like that in Connecticut, but
it's cool.
It feels amazing outside. I'm about to go outside when the show is over. Like, go chill, go just take a breather and come back. Because if we just hoard up, we're gonna get angry, we're gonna get riled up, and we're gonna justify the National Guard and the militarization of the police, and it's gonna make it worse.
I think that's it for this week, man. What do you think?
I'm done.
Anything you feel like we left unsaid?
Nah, I think we probably could have went a little more into a smear campaign, but honestly, Doc, like, I'm just done talking about it for right now. Like, I'm legit upset, so I'm done.
The point of the smear campaign is kind of funny, right? You know, you got to think the real fight here is to make sure that popular opinion in this country doesn't swing so hard against the Ferguson police that Obama feels justified in engaging. So to do that, this has to become, they need to make this political. They need to muddy the waters. They need to get people that it's, you know, in politics, it's called dog whistle politics, right? It's whenever you hear, you know, there used to be, you know, Reagan famously would sort of talk about welfare queens, right? There are loaded terms in this. It's true.
I'm just laughing at the gall of that statement. Okay. Like, word? Okay, whatever.
Right, right. I always hate, you know, listen, welfare, people of all color are on welfare.
Absolutely.
My father growing up was on welfare. Mm. But, you know, it was him, two siblings, single mom, no money. They had nothing.
Right.
And ironically, my father's a staunch Republican now. Right. there are loaded sort of terms. There are coded phrases that are used in this country to signify. Let's just, you know, if you were to have like, you know, if I think in musical terms, right? It's like if I remove the filter, what we're basically saying is black people,
yeah.
Right? Urban. Oh man, you know, it's funny. Every time we talk about urban, like when I say urban music, urban radio, I use it because that's how Billboard classifies it.
Yeah.
Classifies it, but I have to stop that.
Yeah.
Because you know what? That's dog whistle, man. It really is.
Mm.
I noticed that, and I hate myself for that.
Mm. We forgive you, Doc. It's okay.
No, I mean, it's true. Like, if you hear, like, that's an urban environment. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It just means there's a bunch of Negroes present.
So, you know, they're like, okay, so we've, all right, so, oh, well, you know, he might have, you know, there was, you know, let's show pictures of him dressing in a certain way. And, oh, right. He might have been involved in this. Oh, there were traces.
That was a robbery. Let's call it.
You're right.
It was
a
robbery.
But you know what? Last time I checked, we are innocent until proven guilty in this country. Theoretically, anyway.
I'll say this. The video,
yeah.
To me, he reached over, snatched a bunch of swishes. He went to go leave. The clerk went to go chase him. He pushed him out the way, flinched on him like, do something, and he left.
Right.
Okay.
Cool.
Is a life worth $50 worth of swishes? No. So what does he get at the most of that? Chased down and arrested, like at the most.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? So yeah, let's call it for what it was.
All right.
The evidence that tape to me says he robbed the store.
All right, cool. So he robbed the store.
So what? It didn't warrant that. It didn't warrant that.
Right.
It didn't warrant that. He didn't point a gun at anybody. You know what I'm saying? It'd been different if it was armed robbery, something like that. Then I couldn't understand, but they would have a much better case to build off of rather than just me flinching at 6'2"?
He's a big guy.
Big guy. And the clerk was probably 5'4", 115 pounds. A little scrawny somebody. But still, you know, and then my experience has taught me that, you know, a lot of big people can't fight and short people, but that's totally different.
So what we'll see is, I'm guessing at some point, like if this keeps dragging on, we'll hear, like, we'll see something in the media about maybe he's not quite the innocent, like had the innocent past right. that because, mm-hmm. but you know what? They can do all the smearing. You know what? Let's say he has a history. Let's say he has a criminal record. Let's say all of that. It does not matter. He's a human being. Mm-hmm. None of this matters. Doesn't matter if he was high. Doesn't matter if he was drunk. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter if he robbed somebody. He did mm-hmm. not deserve to die. End of discussion.
Yes.
All this stuff is nonsense.
Yes.
It's all clouding the issue. We are all anybody who listens to these smears and if it draws doubt, what you're basically saying is, okay, so now we're making decisions on whose life is valuable.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right. All right, man. I'm about to get mad again.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Let's call it a day, man. Let's wrap it up.
Let's, whether you're religious or not, whatever your religion may or may not be, you want to say prayer, you want to say keeping your thoughts. Let's just hope that this doesn't get worse.
And for the Christians out there, and like, let's pray. If you don't say
before,
I will. Like, let's pray for the posture as to how God would want us to approach it. Because, like, who knows the outcome? We don't know. But the best thing that we can do is get the mind of God and move from there. But we definitely... We can all agree that our eyes and our lips and our ears need to be on Ferguson, Missouri right now.
Right.
More than anything else. So listen, you rappers, don't email me. Don't Facebook me. like, this is, and I meant to say this like weeks ago. Look, this is how I know you don't listen to the podcast, because we never, ever take music submissions. But you guys send us music submissions. That just lets me know that you don't listen to the show. You just saw, hey, hip hop podcast, let me send them my music. If you don't listen to the show, I'm not going to listen to your music, flat out. But don't send me your music anyway. I'm not listening to hip hop right now. I'm not listening to music, period, right now. I'm just letting you know. Unless it's mine, because I'm working on some new stuff. Shh. Friday at Summer Jam. Be there. Scully's.
As always, please use the hashtag #ClackRadioSpeakers or hit us up on Twitter at CRS Podcast, all one word. Or hit us up individually. Let us know what you thought. Let us know what you think. And please continue the conversation. Because frankly, like, I'm not even trying to talk about music right now. You want me to talk about this Wiz Khalifa album? No. We're talking about Ferguson.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
It's not gonna happen. We could, if we did music, we could do an episode on, you know, we could make like a soundtrack to Ferguson. Like, if we just wanted to take a break from it, like what songs kind of have the mind of what's going on right now? We could do something like that to take a break from it if we wanted to keep the music. But that's just just an idea. We don't have to do it.
Right. We're lucky enough to have people who want to hear us speak about subjects that aren't just music. I hope.
Doc basically just said that. All right. Thanks for the idea, Ron. But no, we're not doing that. I'm not mad at it.
I like a running back. I just did the backside cut real fast. I was
you
like,
sure? Yes, you did. But nah, like, you know what I'm saying? Nah, it's not time right now.
But yes, everybody, please continue the conversation. Let us know what you think, and let's all just hope that we're not. That a week from now, we're not sitting there and going, boy, I did not realize it would escalate to this. Because I don't even know. What does another week of escalation look like in America? I can't imagine.
But, oh, my God. I don't even want to know, dog. Right.
So let's all just hope. Anything else you want to say, man?
Nah. If you're in Columbus, Scully's 10 o'clock Friday. Be there for Summer Jam. Should be excellent. And I definitely have some things to say regarding this. So... You know what I'm saying? Like, I will be making that a part of my live show from here on out for a while.
All right, everybody.